Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, the comedians that perform here, and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what helps make up our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Dawn Davis Womack.
Hello, listeners. I'm super excited to bring you a special guest today. He'll likely be my favorite guest of all time. Definitely hard to beat. We have Landon Turner, a former Harrisonburg High School football standout who was recruited all over the country. He played in the U.S. Army All-American Bowl and then went on to play for the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, where he was an All-American and won the Jim Parker Trophy Award. He then went on to play for the Saints and start his NFL career, and now he is a full-time software engineer living with his wife in Durham, North Carolina, and they're celebrating 4 years coming up this weekend. We couldn't be more excited to have him, and he's most famous in our house, by the way, because he also happens to be my son. Please welcome our wonderful guest, the one, the only, Landon Turner. Yay! Welcome, Landon.
Hi. thanks. I'm really smooth. You know, I'm very smooth with my transitions. So
I can see that.
I don't know if you could tell or not.
Such a pro. But
thank you. Very, very excited to be here in this capacity and to share a be on your podcast. This is exciting.
I know, right? It's my very first podcast. Super stoked that you could be a part of it. I always enjoy spending time with you. So this is going to be a blast. I can't wait for the listeners to hear a little bit more about Landon. Of course, I'll tell anybody about Landon.
yeah, that's a given, right? That makes sense.
I know. I'm one of those moms, but it's all good. I wanted to start actually with you were a four-year starter at Harrisonburg High School. And I thought it'd be interesting if you could share a little bit with the listeners about what was so special about that experience for you and playing for Harrisonburg.
What was so special about playing for Harrisonburg? Obviously everything is the truest and the rightest answer of them all. I don't know. It's like, it's crazy that it's been, 2021. I'm not strong with the math, but it's been a lot of years. It's been over 10 years. Actually, it has been exactly 10 years since we graduated high school.
Time flies.
Yeah, it sure does. And, you know, it's going to be a common theme, I think, as we step, you know, there's a few questions that you might ask me around my football career that anyone would, that as I step through it, the common theme is the bonds that get created. Mm-hmm. In those, like, I met my best friends for life, starting in high school. One of them was my best man, Zach Dean. He's getting married this year.
Wow. Yes.
I'm in the party. Like there's a lot of cool stories and like just kind of having a shared experience with those guys and experiencing, typical ups and downs of a football season and kind of coming of age season. That's what comes to mind. I don't even know if that really answers your question as much, but that's what jumps out as what's special about it. We had a great team, cool bunch of guys and a great coach, great coaching staff, really.
Right, Coach Sarver was coaching at the time. Yeah,
that's right. Coach Sarver was coaching at the time, and you know, over the 4 years, we got to put together, you know, a good program. We were successful. That certainly helped. That certainly helped things, and we won a lot of games. Makes it easier, but like that part was nice. But the fun part was kind of walking through life with those guys and building a team together.
Yeah, now that wasn't the first time you started playing football, though. You started playing football. When did you start playing football?
I started playing football, which is this. These are going to be funny because you obviously know this.
I know. I do. But the listeners,
I get it.
Not.
For sure. Right. Yeah. I know. It's just an interesting caveat. I first started playing football when I was 7, which is a little young, but that was my first experience in contact football. I wanted to get out and play, and there was, if I remember correctly, we were trying to find something for me to do in the fall, mm-hmm. and I was only 7, and we were testing things out, and I can't remember if I said I wanted to play football, like if I was ready to play football, or if you and my stepdad Chris had suggested it, or dad, I don't remember. That, I guess it's kind of irrelevant. Basically, I go out for the football team, and we were like trying to find a couple of different sports, and I go out there, and I was a bigger kid, so I had to play with people that were 2 years ahead of me.
Yes.
And yeah. They were 2 more years developed, even though I was the same size. They were 2 more years developed. So these 9-year-olds, one 9-year-old just cleaned my clock, just knocked me all the way to the ground. And as Chris tells it, he was like, oh man, well, he started like brainstorming other things that we could do to stay active in the fall and then come back next year. And at the end of the practice, I came like ran up to him. I was like, did you see that? so I got kind of started very early. And I mean, it's genetic, you know, my father played, my biological father played,
yeah,
a lot of family heritage around football. I had an uncle that played in the NFL and played a lot of West Virginia football alum and Duquesne. Like I could list them all off, but we're a football family. So it's a little, like, I think it is, it might even be in our literal DNA. I wonder if there's a football gene. Cause if there is, I think we have it.
Yes. I think so too.
So it was kind of inherent, and I always loved it even since I could walk, but I really started playing when I was when I was 7. And getting after it then.
Yeah. Yeah. And then being recruited all over the country, you had options for a full scholarship, but you landed at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Was there a big difference between playing high school football and college football?
Oh yeah. There's definitely a big difference because there's a big jump from being 17 or 18 and then hopping on the field with a bunch of 19 to 20 to 22 year olds who have been, you know, especially when a lot of guys have been through like 1 or 2 years of a legitimate like strength program, and like that on top of the like physical development, just from natural human growth. It really like it's a cocktail for a massive jump in game speed and strength and like difficulty in talent. It was a big jump. And on top of that, another aspect of that is there's so many schools and so many different levels of competition. Like, for example, you got single A schools, like from small schools to big schools. You can come from a big pool or mm-hmm. a small pool, and it's very hard to tell like really where you truly stand because of all the like the diversity in size and the people playing around you in high school, because you don't, that's all location based. So you don't control
right.
like the talent that you play against. Right. So that aspect plays into the same like gap, because you don't really, there's no good litmus tests even with camps and all that until you actually get on campus. And I remember like, it's just a whole different level of everything starting to work out. Was like, oh, okay, like this is serious stuff. We're doing serious weight and serious workouts. And then I remember like one of my very first practices, I was supposed to do a double team with the center, and he was the starting center. And so we both get in our stance, and we're both supposed to hit this bag like together in unison, because we're double teaming. It's like a double teaming drill. And they snapped the ball, and I got ready to move, but he was already like 2 yards down the field.
And oh, my God.
I was like, what just happened? How did you move that fast? And like, that's really like all, there's a lot of things that's a big jump, but the X factor is just how much faster the game gets from high school to college.
Do you remember your first start at the University of North Carolina and coming out of the tunnel over at Keenan Stadium? Do you remember that day?
Yeah, I do. I do remember that day. I was stressed out. If I remember correctly, which the memory ain't so good. It's a little spotty. But if I like, as I remember it, we were playing NC State. It was my true sophomore year, redshirt freshman year, and I don't remember like taking the field as much. I was very excited. I don't remember like coming out of the tunnel. Maybe it's like my years of playing offensive line and not caring as much. Not that it wasn't exciting, but if you've run out of the tunnel once, you've run out of the tunnel every time.
Okay.
And maybe like, I don't think that's probably an unpopular opinion, maybe a hot take, but,
okay.
Once you get to a level and run out of the tunnel once, then it's just like there's a lot of other things to worry about.
I gotcha. Okay.
And I was worried about like making sure that I did my job and didn't let the team down and like played well. I enjoyed the playing part for sure. And that's what I remember. I remember finally getting the chance to play was like so exciting, and I was in like just in a state of joy. Tired joy, but joy.
Joy. Yeah, speaking of tired and joy, one of the questions people ask me a lot is, what is a typical day like for you? Or what was a typical day like for you playing college football?
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that's a question, right?
Yeah. Last time I checked, yeah.
Yeah. Very fair. So it kind of depended on... It depended on the season, not season as in like the competitive season, but what season I was in. So, I'll start with August, because that's when training camp usually started, or late July. And that's about 3 to 4 weeks of, as Coach Larry Fedora would so affectionately put it, wall to wall ball.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like 12 to 15 hour days of practice, lifts, workouts, and like in an astronomical amount of meetings. I still like looking back, I question why football needs so many meetings. I feel like a lot could get done in a lot shorter time, right? I feel like we pad ourselves a little bit, you know. Maybe it's this idea like, oh, we just gotta like make sure we're doing as much as we can. I don't know.
Yeah, you've had several conversations with Chris about that. Revamping college football.
Yeah. So in training camp in a nutshell is wake up at 7, go get breakfast, tape up, go to practice, sit in meetings, go to lunch, sit in meetings, either have a walkthrough or workout or both. Then go have dinner, and then sit in meetings. And then go back to the hotel and go to bed.
And somehow fit in class and somehow fit in studying.
Well, this isn't, we haven't got to there yet. This is before school. Before school starts.
Okay.
And that's kind of why they have the room to be like, oh, we'll just keep these guys all day.
Is that when you guys stayed at it's a loft, right?
A loft hotel.
Where
we would stay when I was at UNC.
During that August period for those 3 weeks.
August period.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
We would go to a physical hotel. I have no idea what they did now. Because even the scarier thing is that I am now 6 years removed from college, which hurts.
It hurts me too.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, just figuratively and literally hurts. that's training camp. That's like your August, and then school starts, and then it can vary, but you're going to have classes. And at UNC, either there's one of two ways that schools handle this. They either have practice in the morning and then you take all your classes in the afternoon, or they have practice in the afternoon and you take all your classes in the morning. UNC was an afternoon practice school, so I'd wake up if I was ever injured or is this something I needed to work on, I'd head in to the training room, do that, go to class, get breakfast, go to class, have lunch, And then like usually right after lunch, it's either you have a lift at one of those points, right? There's mm-hmm. it was never the same because of like the wild variance in class schedules, but that's how it would just be wherever you could fit it. So get one workout in and then practice in the afternoon and then meetings were before practice and then we had practice. I can't remember if we had meetings after practice or not. I think that went away at some point if it ever happened. It's a blur. Then go home, do homework or pretend to do homework. Do what you needed to do. Yeah, play Destiny 2 with the boys.
Got to fit that in.
Yeah, video games are almost every night.
Yeah.
If you're in college right now, take advantage of it. You're not as busy as you think you are.
Not adulting quite yet.
Yeah. I hate saying that because it sounds cliche, and I was like, come on, but it's true. So then, evenings were video games or, that's really actually it, at least for me. And then like in season, like that would be your weekdays. And then obviously on Saturday you'd play, you'd travel Friday. So you'd go to class. Then we'd have our like meetings, walk through, hop on a plane or a bus. Mm-hmm. If it was away, stay. Like hang around, we'd have a lot more time if we were home before we had to go mm-hmm. and do all the meetings and walkthroughs. Then whether you're home or away, go to the hotel Friday night and ride the bus in, play the game. Sunday was, we'd have like a shakeout workout, you know, like a recovery workout and then mm-hmm. kind of a practice to go over what happened the day before. And then Mondays were off. That's your typical, go ahead.
I was going to say, and if you won, if it was a W, did you guys have a special dinner or something on Sunday? Or is that?
Probably. I don't actually remember. Whoops. probably.
Maybe.
In the NFL, definitely.
Oh, okay. Okay. Maybe that's where my signals got crossed a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, maybe, I mean, you might not be crossed. Like it's the absence of evidence is not the evidence of absence.
oh, nice word, deep.
Yeah, it's from a cartoon show. So, yeah, it's
The
Boondocks. So you should check it out. It's a black, you know, it's a black cartoon.
It'll
culture you. Yeah, you should check it out. So then Mondays were off. That's your like boiled down, like kind of oversimplified skeleton of your in season, and then usually didn't have winter breaks. Because we were in bowl games all except for 1 year. But if you don't have a bowl game, then you have a real winter break and you get to go home and see your family and hang out with people. But as soon as the semester started, usually the season, you get like a week before the next semester starts. And then you're doing off-season workouts, winter program workouts. And then, sorry, my dog is very distracting.
That's Vader. Vader's in the background. Yeah,
Vader is in the background. And he is too young to be trusted at the moment. It's a free roam. So anyway, we'll figure that out. Let me lead back in and just talk about. Yeah. So after your week off or so, you go back into the spring semester, start winter workouts. That'll go for a couple months. Then you have spring ball. Mm-hmm. You get spring break off always, which was nice. At least you did at UNC. I don't know if I could see it happening, not happening at other places. Play the spring game in April, and the spring ball is very much like a lighter version of the season. So like mm-hmm. from March to April, it's like, work class in the morning, practice in the afternoon, but it's a lot. It's every other day. It's like, it's less, it got less and less intensive because we got more and more, realistic as a society in football. Yeah, and then move into there, finish the spring semester. You got like maybe a week, sometimes less than that. And then you move into summer workouts, which are voluntary, which means you could do it. It was
voluntary, quote unquote, right?
Yeah, it was mandatory. It wasn't technically mandatory, but it was mandatory. And we were all lying to ourselves if we don't just acknowledge that fact. If you didn't show up, there's social pressure and like worried about losing your job, et cetera, et cetera. But those are the summer months were super chill. Usually worked out early in the morning. There was different lift groups, but and it kind of the summer was like, it's harder to say like a general term because it was just like, all right, when can you work out and when is your classes? And usually taking less classes, so I'd have like 1 to 2 classes each summer session, and there was 2. So that's like, I probably could have made that more succinct, but that's a relatively succinct like year round schedule of college football.
It's a lot of hours of college football per week, it sounds like to me.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's a little insane. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what was your favorite part of playing college ball?
You know, it was really a privilege and a blessing to play on a scale like that. You know, to be able to like represent a university, and like, cause in high school it's great to like, in high school it's the same thing, and it's not, I don't want to, what's the word? I don't want to diminish how like in high school, you're still like a part of something bigger. But in college, like it just, the reach goes much farther, right? There's the influence in like the pride, dare I say, to be able to play for the University of North Carolina or any school really is that reach extends further than Chapel Hill. Right. Like with Harrisonburg, for example, that reach doesn't extend much further than Harrisonburg. You might have some people that care that live in some of the surrounding areas, not care, but like are Harrisonburg fans in the surrounding areas. Right. But it was truly in a bigger scale. And I really appreciated that. It was a lot of fun to be able to have an opportunity to continue to play the sport that I loved. I lead with that because even with all that and like getting a chance to play in bowl games and take cool trips and do all that was awesome. And like saving jerseys and memorabilia was awesome. And I've got a couple that I still need to hang up in here. I'm not quite done with my office in here, but, the best part was the bonds that were created again. You know, I like connected with the two brothers, the Hurst brothers, as I was coming into UNC, and I spent most of our that's the guys that I played games with, that's who like hung out with, and we all like a year in, we all got a house together, and we were roommates, and like those the times with that and like forging those lifelong friendships and just creating these like. These awesome memories, not like with most of which with, or I should say most of all with my roommates and like just the silly things that we got to do together and like, growing together, the ups and downs and all that, that was fantastic. And like, we have a ton of stories that we continually swap and it still hasn't gotten old. But also with like the greater team, you know, I still hang out with a lot of guys from that team. It's like a true fraternity and I love that. You know, I got a chance to recently go golfing with a bunch of, I still golf with the guys that live around here, but we had like a little golf trip, with some former teammates and being able to do stuff like that. And then just like kind of relive the glory days, if you will, is something really special. And I'm glad that I get to something that nobody can take away. And I'm glad I get to enjoy that for the rest of my life.
Yeah, you guys even have a nickname based on the street you lived on.
Yeah, yeah.
What was that?
So we lived on Roo Street, and we were the Roo Street Rumble Squad. We were big gamers, right? So one of the games we played a lot was this game called Battlefield 4. And you could have squads, like we played in squads. At one point, we all brought our TVs downstairs in the living room. I can't remember if it was like, I don't remember the circumstance, if it was like during a snow day and we couldn't make it, or like there was some reason why we, for an extended period of time, like we didn't have to be anywhere. So we just all moved our TVs into the living room and would like for hours, like play Battlefield together, like join each other's party and just play and eat bad food and it was a good time and drank. It was a good time. And that's kind of because of that, we like needed it, like felt we needed a name, and you could have like a little clan like tag in that game. Uh-huh. So we were just like, well, we live on Root Street. And it's, I can't remember, like, it's actually a good question. I need to like fact check myself, but ask about the true origin of it. I just remember us saying it so much that it became a thing. And we affectionately were known as the Root Street Rumble Squad. So much so that one of the mothers, forgive me, because I can't remember which one, gave us all a framed like picture.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The guys that were living there from 2013 to 2014.
That's right. They did.
There's six Root Street Rumble Squad members in total. There's only four present at the time of the picture, but that's kind of where it came from. We had a lot of shenanigans, played a lot of board games.
Yeah.
Fought a lot.
Yeah. But you lived through it.
We lived through it. Yes.
You lived through it. You got memories.
Got angry. Yeah. Got angry about FIFA, which is really just me. I was the only one who was like truly angry about FIFA.
Yeah. You and I kind of share that a little bit. I don't like to, well, I hate to lose. And I think that's safe to say about you. The apple doesn't fall too far from the tree on that one, I don't think. Would you say that's true?
No, very true. Certainly. Very true. I was doomed to be a bad loser. I'm working on it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. It's all good. Then you transitioned to professional football. Was there a speed difference between college football and pro football? Did that surprise you? Did you expect it? What was that experience like?
There was not nearly the same jump from like college to from high school to college, definitely more tempered. I think it was a step fast. It's definitely faster, but it's not faster because everyone's like physically better than you. And in fact, like especially as a rookie, like you're in better shape than most everyone because it's kind of all downhill physically from there for most. Mm-hmm. Some guys like made, but actually it's for all of us, because I mean, even if you play for 10 years, like it's going to take more and more exponentially more to stay like,
all right,
at that same top, like physical speed each year mm-hmm. that you play. And I football see. Is not easy on the body. So it just takes a lot of money and time to like, to stay that. So it's not, mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying just, facts in my like one of my to just kind of support that fact is often as an offensive line we would all just like swap stories of the conditioning tests that we would do in college and like the runs we would do, and all of us are just like, how, there's no way there's no way I could do that right now, like no. So physically,
yeah,
there is certainly a jump, but it's not nearly as jarring, if even jarring at all,
right,
as it is from high school to college. I think mentally is where the big jump is. If you didn't go, especially particularly so if you didn't go to a school that had an NFL like playbook, like system to mm-hmm. work with, because then it's going to take, then you got a bit of a learning curve. And because of the, if you're good enough to play in the NFL, then you're probably physically got everything that you need. And the real differentiator, unless you're like this superstar talent, which most aren't, the real differentiator is what do you know and how can you put mm. yourself in the best possible position? Because that's where you can either make up some speed or,
right.
You know, be able to play better just in general. That's like, I believe that's the X factor. I'm sure maybe some would disagree with me, but just in my experience, that's what I noticed was like the big difference
was in the knowledge of the mm-hmm. position
of the well position positions.
Okay.
And yeah, that's part of it.
All right.
And just the playbook and football see. Concepts, right? Like it's not, there's, it's a lot more complicated and, mm. the deeper understanding you can have of schemes and the nuances, then the less that you have to think when you're playing, which means you can play faster and yeah. with more, I'll say reckless abandon, but I don't mean it, for lack of a better term, reckless abandon, because you you like trust yourself and you've like, you know where you need to be, and it's at that point it's all about, it's more, the more instinctual you can make it, the better that you'll play.
If I'm hearing you right, the deeper knowledge you have of the schemes in many ways makes you a quicker player.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it makes you a quicker player, and you don't have, you won't be slowed by indecision.
I see.
You know, because every second counts, because everyone that makes it to the NFL and has a chance to play is more than capable of doing so. You know, that was one of the biggest differences I noticed too, is that it didn't matter who, like, even in college sometimes, you know, you'd like go play a team, and I mean, there's nothing against that person, but it's just like, okay, like, this is manageable. Like, I there's still like, there's some skill gaps in college.
I see.
Right. Where you're going to be like better than someone. That is almost to me, that's almost eliminated in
the press.
The NFL, where, yeah, where everyone was the best college player on their team.
True.
And so the talent gap is much, much smaller. Almost, there's a word for it and it's escaping me, but like almost negligible. That's it.
That was the word I was thinking of.
Yeah. Is negligible, right? So it didn't matter. Like that's why NFL games are so tiring, because it doesn't matter who you're going against. You got to bring all of it single time,
yeah.
Because everyone is just as good as you are. There are others that are like insanely good, and they're one of the things too. Like when I say this, don't think that I don't believe I belong there. I certainly do. Yeah. But athletically, if we just strip all the other stuff away and we just say, just as an athlete, I had no business being in the same room with like a lot of these people, you know? And like, I had tricks, and like, I'm not a bad athlete. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that the amount of athletes that I was surrounded by is like, was
very just elite.
Awing. Yes.
Yes.
I mean, like, elite, like impressively elite,
ridiculous. Yeah. Ridiculously good. Yeah, that's an incredible experience. Not everybody gets to say that. And now you've transitioned into a quote unquote real job, you know, that average person might have, and you've become a software engineer. I think what's really fascinating about that, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that your major, you were a double major in sports administration and English, right?
Yeah.
And then you somehow became a software engineer. I think the process and the story behind that is really fascinating. Can you share with the listeners how that came to be?
Yeah, it's super random. I have no idea what's going on.
What am I doing with my life?
No, it was very random. I did fall into it. You know, it's funny now, because like, I really wish that I had had the conversation that I had that led me to programming when I was in college. Mm. And I mean, it's not like a regret thing, but just like I do wonder sometimes, like, man, if I had found this in stride and like gotten a 5-year head start on myself right now, that'd be awesome. But I in the winter of my football career, as in the twilight, if you will, I was kind of starting to see the writing on the wall, and you know, I was married. We didn't have any kids. We still don't have any kids yet, but there's no kids. Yeah.
Not that I'm waiting or anything.
We'll get there. We will get there.
No eventually. Pressure. Okay.
So it was just me and my wife Melanie. And but even so, like, I was hopping around a lot. There was I wasn't like sticking to any team, and I was still having to pay to like work out, and there wasn't any income really to speak of. Melanie got a job, but she was still like kind of climbing and like re-establishing herself, because we kind of put her on the sideline because our opportunity in football was more lucrative at the time. This is something we decided to do. Mm-hmm. And so she was just kind of let me be careful here, because it's not like she was, I didn't just say like stay at home.
Right. No,
that's ridiculous.
She was working. Right.
Yeah. She was working. She was just not working towards, she was working to do what she could to start getting an idea of what she wanted to do, which is especially wedding planning, which is a story in and of itself, which she is on track and I'm super pumped for her. But again, we'll get to that. Mm-hmm. But I was hopping around a lot of teams, wouldn't stay anywhere more than 2 weeks. And I was like, I need to be more prepared. And I remember asking like some of the booster guys at UNC and like the associate AD, I was like, hey, but I'm just like kind of looking around, like, what do you think? And I started networking a little bit. And I remember, I can't remember who it was, but somebody asked me like, well, what industry you want to be in? And I was like, what industry? Like, I knew what he was asking and I knew there was a lot of industries, but like it scared me how much it stumped me, because no matter how hard I thought, all I could think of was like, well, football. And I was like, okay, it's time to start talking to you. So I just went, started grabbing coffee and networking, and kind of like that was like my mindset. That's not what eventually led to engineering. It actually happened on a plane. I had a workout with the Titans and they didn't sign me and sent me home. And on that plane home, I like sat next to this guy, or he like sat next to me. He got stuck next to me on a Southwest flight because there's just none left. And like, somebody took 5'2" lady took the emergency row, which like, listen, if you're under 6 feet, like I'm sorry. Don't sit in the emergency.
It's one of his pet peeves.
it's one of my biggest pet peeves. Yeah. And don't give me that. Like, I paid for it. I got here first. Like, don't be so selfish. That's insane, right? If you can comfortably fit, I'm going to go off on a tangent. Let me stop myself.
Okay.
Woo! I'm fine. Anyway, he had to sit next to me. And, like, it's funny because we looked at each other and we were like, yeah, sorry. And then me being myself, I couldn't help but like, I was kind of mad because I didn't make a team and I was playing my Nintendo Switch and I was like, I'm just gonna play my Switch, I don't want to talk to anyone. So I started talking to him, and anyway, because I couldn't help myself. And he basically like, he knew a salesman at this software company. He's like, you should talk to this guy because they work in sports. And I was like, okay, cool. So I went and talked to him, and long story short, like, they got me in and just asked me if I wanted to shadow over the summer. And I just kind of shadowed each and every department that they had. And the CFO, I think he was the CFO at the time. Anyway, I was approached and said, like, you know, we think you'd be good at programming. What do you think of that? It's like, I don't know. I mean, sounds interesting. I love technology and video games. I'll definitely check it out. So they gave me a book and I like bought like a $10 class on Udemy and started messing around with it. And I was like, you know, this is kind of fun. Like I was enjoying building stuff. And then I was signed by Seattle, was there for a couple, like that subsequent training camp was an interesting year. And I didn't make any team. I came back to North Carolina. This is a second year of no steady income. And so I was like, I got to start working or doing something, but I don't want to stop working out. And I didn't even go into the office because I had spent the summer there and I was back home. So I was like, I'm going to go in the office. I hit up the sales guy. I was like, hey, I'm coming in. We'll see you and see everybody. Cause I had made friends with people while I was there. And then while I was there, they said, hey, you want to work here part-time while you're working out? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And then, they were kind of like very intentional and basically said, if you go to coding school, they gave me an opportunity to go to coding school and work there at the same time and kind of transition into a full developer role. And I was like, there's a lot more to this. I'm kind of oversimplifying it,
right?
But
Cliff Note version. Yeah.
Yeah. The Cliff Note version. But at the end of the rainbow, I was like, you know what? I had a lot of prayer and meditation and sought as much counsel as I possibly could about what path I should take. And I decided to hang up the cleats and move into this new direction. And I'm 6 months in to a full like coding job. I started really doing coding for a year and some change now. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's actually a lot of other professional athletes that have a similar story as yours that we discovered in our own journey, you know, as your parents watching you go through all of this, and then you being in that pro industry and seeing and meeting many other players that just really kind of ended up transitioning out of the sport because they started bouncing around the league and that type of thing. And so much so, you are starting a podcast about those athletes and their stories. What is that podcast called? And it hasn't been launched yet.
No. As I think I may have mentioned this earlier, if I haven't, we're not as official as X2 Comedy's podcast. We got no idea what we're doing. We relish that fact. Yeah, we relish that though. No, I we know enough. We talk to friends. It's called Washed.
Yeah.
WASHED. It is nowhere yet. We have not started editing. We will start that next week though. And at the time of this recording, it is March 24th. Is that okay for me to say, Mom?
This recording. Yeah, it'll be posted at a later date. But yes, that's the
gotcha. Okay, cool. So hopefully by the time this is up, we might have something to show for it. We'll see. But we have been working on it. We've been committed to it. It's about exactly that. It's about transitioning and what a real goal with it. And maybe it didn't start like this because I need to re-listen to our pilot recording. But what it's really turned into is kind of highlighting what former athletes are doing now.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot of people that talk about the transition, you know, and like there's a lot of talk around that. There's no shortage of that. But what I really hope this podcast does is kind of highlight all the different things that people have gone into. Mm-hmm. And like for me, Shaq may not, my co-host may not share this exactly, but like part of what I want to get out of this podcast is to help people answer that question that stumped me so hard before, and to be able to see themselves and see people that have walked similar lives, like doing a gambit of different things. Cause that's what I discovered. There's so much that I was, as a sport admin and English major, I ended up doing programming. Mm-hmm. Like there's so much you can do.
So much opportunity. So much opportunity. Yeah. You know, these young men and women too are ending their professional athlete careers at a young age with a whole life ahead of them. Mm-hmm. And exactly. I think that is be very encouraging to a lot of young athletes out there to see a world greater than their sport. And that there's a lot to look forward to when it's time to hang up the cleats.
Yeah.
That life after pros. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
I'm excited about that. When he does get it ready, listeners, we will put that link to his podcast on our website, x2comedy.com, and we'll make an announcement as that begins to come to fruition. The last couple of things I want to talk about is, you know, speaking of transitions, your mom, that's me. A transitioned later in life into becoming a stand-up comedian. And in fact, I have some jokes about being your mom and going, you know, what it was like to be a part of your journey. You know, have some jokes about your size and about football, have Drew Brees bit and some different fun stuff for people to listen to and laugh and enjoy. What's that been like though for you to hear those jokes your mom tells and watch her do her thing?
It's been a lot of fun. There's no other way to put it. It's been a lot of fun. I love how much that you love it. That probably is my favorite part. Like, I could care less about the jokes about me or even like, honestly, even how it's going. Like, I want it to go well for you, but the thing I care about the most and what comes to mind when you ask me this is just how much fun that you have doing it. You're kind of made for it, I think.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. You know, I think you were made for comedy. I'm sorry. You're very funny. I don't know what that means.
I think it's a little bit of a requirement. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So that's what comes to mind. It's fun. You know, we've enjoyed like stand-up comedy as a family for a long time. You know, like we've shared, you know, Brian Regan and like Bill Burr, Sebastian Maniscalco, like
You were the something. One.
It's I randomly found it. He's fantastic.
He turned us on to Sebastian. I'm totally
But like my point, like, that's something that we've done a lot to bond as a family over the years. But that even before you transitioned to it, like that's something that I remember at least us enjoying a lot. And like honestly, we've never even talked about that. But as I'm sitting here talking to you, thinking about it, it's like we kind of primed you up for it just with our own like pastimes. And it's exciting, and it's exciting, and it's inspiring. Because, you know, you don't like it's hard to transition, right?
Right.
Especially after you feel established in something, or you feel established just as your person, to be able to be like, you know, I'm gonna try something completely new. Mm-hmm. It's something really difficult to do, and I haven't seen you falter. Not to say you haven't had hard times. Cause like that'd be ridiculous. You don't have to tell me. I know that it's been difficult in different ways, but when things are difficult, you still like, you've never like wavered. Falter. Falter maybe. Right. But you've never wavered. And I've never known you to not enjoy what you're doing now. And that's really cool.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. I must say. Best part is just to see a whole bunch of people enjoying themselves and laughing and taking a break from the stresses of life. And sometimes it's just plain downright hard. And when we can laugh together and take a break for a minute, I feel like it's an awesome reset button. You know, it's an awesome reset button.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. Well, let's kind of close or land the plane, as I would say. And I don't think you close the plane. Yeah, we want to land the plane.
I mean, I hope you close the plane. You know?
Well, yeah, that's true. People
bring her down, maybe. Bring her down.
Bring her down.
Bring her down.
Yeah. Bring her down.
I was trying to think of some nautical term, but I just fell flat on my face. Never mind.
I don't know where we're going with that. But anyway,
I can think of a couple of memes that came to mind, but that won't translate well.
Okay. Maybe we'll leave that there. You know, we can bring you on again sometime. But how can people follow you on social media or get in touch with you?
Yeah. So you can follow me on social media. Let me start with Instagram at Landon Lewis Turner, Landon underscore Lewis underscore Turner. Lewis is spelled LEWIS. I used to post a lot, used to be all football stuff. I am not a great millennial. I don't post as much as I guess I should. It honestly bothers me. I think about it so much. I'm like, man, I should post, but I just don't have anything that like I post my dog and my wife. The occasional throwback, and I have yet to. So let's throw this out into the ether. I'll be posting some podcast stuff, I'm sure. But
yes,
if there's if there's some content that would be interesting, hit me up, DM me. I use Instagram the most as my social media medium. I am a stout lover of memes. Most of my camera roll. That's part of the problem too. Is that most of my camera roll. It's just memes at this point. I don't have any pictures.
So I think the takeaway is he likes memes.
Yeah, I do like memes. You can follow me on Twitter. Similar case. I'm there. I exist. But my Twitter handle is @EL_TEE_78. That's LT, like the golf tee.
Yeah.
78. Yeah. And then I those are the two best. So you can look up Lando Dev, like LinkedIn, and search Lando Turner.
Yeah.
I have a specific URL. I customized it. And so if you'd like know how to work LinkedIn, it's Lando Dev is my
your profile. Tag. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, my profile.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other socials I'm missing on? What else? I like,
you're not on Facebook.
Man, I'm on
much.
Reddit.
You're on Reddit.
No. I mean, really, you can add Facebook. Me on. Yeah, I don't even I haven't added a friend on Facebook. Yeah, yeah, I haven't added a friend on Facebook in like I don't know how long.
That's for if you're
right. Right. If you're a
so
gamer,
I'm on Facebook.
Yeah. Well, that's experienced. You're just a higher level. That's all.
Seasoned.
Yeah. If you're a gamer, you want to know, like, you play some.
Oh yeah. Probably find them on games more often, I guess.
Yeah. That's honest. Yeah. Yeah,
so if you're a gamer, how can that gamers would probably love to connect with you. What's your,
I'm sure. My PlayStation, which is what I played multiplayer on probably the most, is oh man. Yeah. Okay. I made it a long time ago. Right? It's UNC _DragonD's. That's the mythical beast dragon.
Okay.
D's.
Okay.
D-E-E-Z.
Okay.
And I think
it's longer.
That's it. Okay. That should be it. And I'll double check that. If you need it,
I'll put it in the show notes.
Maybe mom will put it in the show notes.
I'll probably help everyone out to sum all that up. I'll put all of that in the show notes.
Thanks. And if you don't listen, I don't know if there's some PC gamers out there. I just built a gaming PC this year. I've got like two friends. So on Steam, I'm LT_hammer. Yeah. But the hammer is a three. The E is a three in hammer.
And if any listeners out there that have teenagers or college students that are into gaming or whatever, he's definitely a good one to connect with that way because he's all about it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is amazing. Now, sometimes, listeners, we have Landon Turner as a celebrity guest host at our comedy events. And we are going to have him as our celebrity guest host for our upcoming comedy and Kazumba event at the Friendly City Dance Room coming up May 8th. So if you would like to meet Landon and or take a photo op, then you're going to want to get your tickets to that event. And you can find those at x2comedy.com. And when he's going to be on future events, we'll let you know on that format as well as on our social media. So yeah, thank you, Landon. This has been super fun. I always love spending time with you, of course. You're my my favorite and my only son. So I know.
Favorite by default. Let's go. What competition?
I know so much. Yeah, you know, and whenever there's an announcement of like an expansion of the family, listeners, we'll be sure to let you know that too.
Right.
We'll be sure to let you know that.
I'll make sure that you know.
Maybe we'll bring his wife on for a special announcement one of these days.
Oh, yeah. She'd love that. Yeah. Get that introvert out of there.
She'd be
so uncomfortable. It's perfect.
I know. Yeah. I think we should do it. But anyway, this has been so, so, so much fun. So thank you for being on here, Landon. I can't wait for the listeners to hear this special podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. So listeners, we'll see you until next time. Keep laughing. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Virginia is for Laughers podcast brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring a show to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share us with a friend. Until next time, cheers.